Series, and it was to be interrupted, but we didn't communicate enough. Otherwise, Roland would be preaching on missions this morning. somehow the Lord brought Roland and me into a bonding, which we thought the same things and had the same ideas and the same commitment. But turn in your Bibles to this series on marriage, because we really want to open up our church to a conversation. Let's begin a conversation about God's will for marriage and singleness. You may never get married, and that can happen. But we saw over the last 2 weeks that God's original plan for all men is to be married. We saw that from Genesis chapter 2, several verses there. God's original creative purpose. He created man and woman, and then he created a suitable spouse for the man. And the emphasis was on suitability. And we saw God's original creative concern as well in the whole issue of divorce and the difficulties and challenges of marriage, and where the disciples said, then it's better not to be married. And that was from Matthew 19. So there was God's original creative purpose and God's original creative concern. Also from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, and then other verses like verses 8 and 9, and from 25 to 38, we saw what Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, taught the Corinthian church about singleness. And I emphasize that singleness is an option, but it's an option when you have a single-minded focus and devotion to the work of God and to the gospel and to the things of God. So that was what we did on the first Sunday and a part of last Sunday. We went into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to see God's original purpose for all men. And as we come to Christ, the purpose of God is our sanctification, that we should live lives pleasing God and in holiness, especially in the area of sexual morality. And we went through into quite detail in the first 8 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you were not here and would like to check it out, we've uploaded it on our DCC website, as we do with all our sermons. We come to the hopefully last in this series. We see God's original pronouncements for choosing a life partner, a spouse. You want to be sensible. You really want to be sensible in choosing a person to marry and spend your entire life with. God's will in marriage is it's a lifetime, right? You don't marry to divorce. You don't marry to separate. You don't marry to conflict. It does happen, and we looked at all that as well. We didn't skip anything. Though it was not exhaustive, I believe I have been comprehensive in touching almost every aspect of marriage and singleness, including divorce and separation. But that's not what we begin with as we match up and get married. We never think for a moment that we want to clash, we want to fight. It's all about loving each other and adjusting to each other and staying married. But after we get married, you realize there's a lot of challenges. Every marriage has its challenges, because marriage is, Christian marriage, is two sinners coming together. Chanda Pilla used to tell Roland and me that when you get married, you learn sanctification. And you learn what it means to be sanctified, because two sinners have to learn to live together. And by the way, someone also counseled me and said, you never get married and think, I'm going to change my spouse. Don't get into that quirk that I'm marrying so that I can make my spouse more holy. You're going to get into trouble that way. We hope we encourage each other to further godliness and growth in Christ. But we are two sinners who are going to learn to live together and love Christ and have Christ as the center of our marriage. But it's going to be a lifetime commitment. There is no trial post the I do. You can't say I won't after you say I do. Amen. So that's lifetime. The only and best way is to follow the original dictates. I've put these words in my notes so that I don't miss saying it. The dictates and commands and instructions of God contained in the Bible. I'll say that again. The only and best way in choosing a spouse is to follow the original dictates, commands, and instructions of God contained in the Bible. Look for instance at all the following wise pronouncements and details God has given a long time ago, because the Bible has been there for a long time. Amen. And I'm going to share with you a few of those dictates and commands and instructions of God in His Word. They are still relevant today. But I pause to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. While we are single, God expects us to live in sanctification in our sexuality. We are not to indulge in sexual messing around, experimentation. Not only not physically, but also in our imagination. So if you're given to getting very imaginative in romantic ideas. In the old days, it was Mills and Boons, right? For the women. I guess those kind of romantic stories are still available. And you indulge in just filling your mind with all these things in Bollywood and Hollywood ideas. Or you are surfing the net and you get into all kinds of things which are okay to pornography. So 1 Thessalonians 4 is very, very down-to-earth, basic command from the Lord. This is the will of God for you, even your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, period. But then you need to begin preparing to be a future good wife or a future good husband. You don't just sit there idle waiting for something to happen and by magic and something romantic somewhere out there, you know, you'll meet the great one. And I'm talking to both men and women, and somehow you will work it out. And you know nothing about what marriage entails. There's a lot of things you need to learn about getting married. So how do you prepare? I'm going to give you these instructions from the Word of God, which many of them are dictates and commands. And what God dictates and what commands, what God commands are to be obeyed. You stay safe when you obey the word of God. But you've got to learn, and I hope some of you are reading good Christian books on marriage. I hope you are, even if you think you're never going to make it, or it's never going to happen to you, or you don't want to get married, or whatever. You should be reading about what is marriage going to be. There are some really good books, and we have lots of them in our home, and lots of others have good Christian books. And we also have premarital courses. Even if you're not getting married, you look at it and see what you can prepare yourself with knowledge and understanding about what marriage is going to be. And that is for those who are of marriageable age. If you're just 13 years old, you don't need to worry your head about all this. Parents, we should be talking with our children about some of the details of marriage, including their sexuality. We should not shy away from this. Talk and prepare your children for this. The first thing I have there in the outline is don't fall in love, okay? Or marry an unbeliever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, and we look at all these verses, even if you know them, you know, because some of us are very knowledgeable, even if we know them, it's very clear in the Bible that God has commanded us, do not, chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians and verse 14 onwards, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? I hope you see there that while this partnership means communion, fellowship, intimacy, covers a range of things in life, it's very potently, very powerfully linked to marriage. And it says it's a contrast of righteousness and lawlessness, light and darkness. And then in verse 15, Christ and the devil, believer and an unbeliever. There was an African preacher who would tell his young people, don't love and marry an unbeliever. But if you do, don't come anywhere near me, because you're carrying on your back a corpse and it stinks. He said it in much more African style. You know, because the person who's not saved is dead in sin. It's like you are carrying around a dead body, and dead bodies stink. You look at verse 16 and following in 2 Corinthians 6, and it continues this way, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? God decides that we are the temple of the living God, and he has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among their midst and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean. So God says, it's unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And why do I say don't even fall in love with an unbeliever? Because once your emotions get entangled, it's very hard to untangle emotions. I know, I've been there, all right? And don't tell me, yeah, you enjoyed life and now you're telling us don't. No, I didn't mess around. But it's emotional. And it's very difficult to fight emotions. James Dobson wrote a book called Emotions. Can You Trust Them? It's a very good book on emotions and how unstable emotions can be. And there have been young people who have fallen in love, whatever that is, and have struggled with ideas like, well, he said, she said, she'll turn to Christ after, you know, we get married. May happen, may not happen. You want to risk it? I would suggest not. I've been in conferences and meetings for young people all my life. And I remember discipleship camps and mission conferences. Young people would come and say, I know I must give my all to Jesus. I know God is calling me for missions. And their number one problem and hindrance used to be, but I'm in love. Okay, so what? That's a wonderful thing if you're in love. No, I'm in love with an unbeliever. And I have a long line of young people who were not able to give up all for Christ because there was this one thing in the way. First Corinthians chapter 7. There's a lot of teaching on marriage and singleness and divorce and separation in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You've got to sift which section of 1 Corinthians 7 is for which category of life. But in verse 39 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says this: a wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whomever she wishes. Now, isn't that wonderful? If you are widowed, then you can marry whoever you want. But there's a caveat, right? Only in the Lord. Only a believer. Can marry anybody. Only a believer. That's not a contradiction. That's a restriction. In Deuteronomy, God said to his people, Israel, the second law, chapter 7, this is what he said. The first four verses of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. He said, when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, here are they, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. The emphasis is on you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, no compromise, no agreements with them, and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they shall turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. Have nothing to do with unbelievers. Watch your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. Watch your heart. Take care of your heart. Singles, take care of your heart. Don't let kuch kuch hota hai happen to you with an unbeliever. Just resist it. Cut it off. And God will put a fence around you and protect you. Second, and this is a very sensible instruction in Proverbs 21. You can see I did quite a bit of homework on this. Verse 19, it says, it is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. I mean, as soon as you start a friendship that will progress into a relationship, you can discern, right? You can, I mean, we've all got minds and we all can see it. Is this person, guy or a girl, always arguing and getting upset and getting angry and wanting his or her own way? Don't love or marry a contentious, argumentative person. It's very hard to change. Do you know that? It's very hard to change. I mean, I know that about myself. You know that about yourself. It's very hard to change. And all this, you know, love will change me. Oh, it could. But avoid relationships with argumentative people. Especially as you continue in a relationship and you can see that this person continues to be like this. This is habitual. Very selfish person. Chapter 31 of Proverbs. That was a recommendation. Here's another one. Chapter 31 of Proverbs and verse 30. Look at it. It gives you a sensible idea here. Charm is deceitful. Have you met people who can charm you? And how long does that last? Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Don't love or marry for outward beauty and charm only. Look for inner beauty, the inner beauty of godliness. Look for that. And here I want to say this. Build into your thinking and your knowledge bank and your concepts, values. Build a value system so that while you're single, you are building up some conviction, some values. What do you like? How do you like to spend your free time? What do you like to do with your money? Not only excess money, but even that money which you need for your regular budgeted expenses. Have values about money, about time. What are your value system about children? Because you get married, you may most likely have children. What are your values for future children that the Lord will bless you with? What are your values about home and entertaining in your home? Hospitality. What are your values about church and ministry and how much time you want to give and about keeping a home open? Build in values into your life so that you have a filter of values to look at anybody you might be considering as a future lifetime spouse. Does that sound sensible? Verses 10 to 31 of this great Proverb 31. Look at it. 10 to 31. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wood and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. Do you see values here? Are you looking with me at this great proverb? Look at the text. I'm in verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles. Look at that. She smiles at the future. She's not anxious for the future. She smiles at the future because she knows how to save. She knows how to conserve. She knows how to trust the Lord. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Isn't that a whole lot of values? Build up those values. Proverbs 19, verse 14. Another great recommendation and an encouragement from the Word of God. Verse 14. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a sensible wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Build up values before you consider. I'm not saying before you marry, before you consider hooking up and getting involved with someone. However charming, handsome, tall, dark, whatever, fair and lovely is the outward appearance. Build up values, spiritual values. Remember, this will not happen. This will not happen if you do not seek and submit to wise counsel. Even from your own family, even if they are not Christian. Seek help. Because others know the person you're considering. Talk to people before you make a commitment. And especially seek and submit to the wise counsel from godly and experienced people. I mean, we've been married, right? How many of us are married? And how many of us have a honky-dory, lovely, no-problem, carefree marriage? None of us. I mean, we struggle through it, right? Because we're sinners. And we can tell you and help you. Listen to parental guidance. Find details about the person you're considering. Don't find out afterwards. I preached in two weddings that ended up in disaster. One took about 2 years, and it was a Christian leader in South Maharashtra. He turned around and told me, "You're such a powerful preacher. My son ended in divorce." There was a Pune wedding in another church, and they invited me to preach. Church was full, like the other one, crowded with maybe 1,000 or more people. The reception was even grander, and they announced all the full-time Christian leaders. from the family who were there. Very, very well-known Christian leaders. In 2 months, the marriage lasted. The girl discovered that this so-called godly man, very well-placed, so was she, was into porn. She walked away. Hear and receive what others have in terms of knowledge about the person. You know why? Because you can become subjective. The others will be objective. So there's a lot of preparation needed. Finally, I want to say this. From Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll turn to that as well. Verses 22 to 33. 22 to 33. What does it say there? You've heard this passage so many times because all of us have been to other people's weddings, right? Wives, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And there's an elaborate detail of how to do that. If that is what God says about Christian wives and Christian husbands, then isn't it a great preparation for you to prepare yourself to be that kind of submissive woman or that kind of sacrificially loving husband? Are you taking time to prepare? You know, we prepare a lot. We prepare a lot for a career. If you have an interview for a job, you prepare a lot. And you seek other people's advice also. I've seen you do it. You go to people who have experience in that category of management where you get a promotion. And you got this hot interview coming up. And you know your job may not last you for a lifetime. But how little preparation we're into for the exam of a lifetime of living together in love and submission and honoring the Lord in marriage. How little preparation. Should you look for someone? I think you should keep your eyes open all the time. I remember an American missionary. He told me this. God won't give you by inspiration what you will get through perspiration. John Crozier was a funny man. He was driving this van and he said that in a situation that he thought I was in. I wasn't. But he said that to me. I'll modify that to sure you need to do something to find a spouse. But don't perspire by yourself. Go to God. Trust Him. Submit to your parents and submit to some godly people you can trust with your life. What is the sum total of everything we've seen in the scriptures in the last 3 sermons, including this one? It is this, that you are not to live, whether single or married. Whether single or married, you are not to live for yourself. Certainly you're not to live around your own career. Almost every young person is saying, I want to settle in my career. I don't know how long you're going to settle in your career. In the old-fashioned way, when parents said, I want to settle my child, settle was get them married, right? Now, when young people talk about settling, they're talking about career. Nowhere does the Bible teach us to pursue wealth and security of wealth through our careers and our savings. I mean, the earthquake in Nepal has shown us. I mean, did you know one of the news items doing the rounds is that people are digging in all the rubble for the wealth that is there for the taking? You want to get rich quick, go to Nepal and dig through the debris. Your wealth will perish, rot and rust and moth will corrupt your wealth. The Bible warns us about that. Investments, property, gold, saving for the future, the rainy day. The rainy day might end up in an earthquake, storm, cyclone, hurricane, whatever. We went through Ecclesiastes. The Bible does teach us that we should work hard, be excellent in our work, earn our living, enjoy our wealth, and save as well. In fact, the Bible exhorts us to save. However, these are not to be our security. We are not to pursue these things. We are constantly and consistently taught to live for eternity. You know, that kind of person will make the best husband or the best wife for you. Victor Manogram was a short Tamil Youth for Christ national director. And he came to Pune. He's now in heaven. But he said this, you know, when Jesus said, "Follow me and hate your father, mother, wife, children, everybody." He made a point there. He said, Victor Monogram said this. I was a youth then. But I got to hear some very wise things from such as Victor Monogram. He said this, compare two people. One loves his wife more than he loves Jesus Christ. And the other loves Jesus Christ more than he loves his wife. You got it? Two men. One loves his wife more than he loves Jesus Christ. And the other loves the Lord Jesus more than he loves his wife. Then compare both men's love for their wife. And Victor said this, the man who loves Jesus more than he loves his wife will love his wife more than the man who loves his wife first and Jesus second. You can prove that. Won't be perfect, but you have a better quality person than the one who sold out for Jesus. Amen. Become a person like that. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Given to me when I was 15 years old by a Scripture Union worker's wife, Caris Crowfoot. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, roti, kapra, or makan, will be added unto you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Great verse there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And he died, Jesus died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Psalm 37, which we read as we began this service. Psalm 37 and verse 4. You must memorize this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. Most of us misunderstand what that means. He won't give you your human desires. You know what he's going to do? When you delight yourself in the Lord, what happens? When you enjoy God most of all, when you really spend time with God, you delight in him and you love him and you're crazy about God, your desires will be what? Godly. So think of the first part of that verse, delighting in God, you'll get his desires and he will fulfill his desires in you. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84 and verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. And see this, no good thing. You want to get married? Give yourself to God. And then look for a godly spouse. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Do you know Jesus? The one who died for you. He's alive for you today. Do you trust in him? Then live no longer for yourself and your career and your saving up money and somehow getting secured. I mean, when everything is secure, then I will get married. No, no, no. You get married. And together, be secure in God and God alone. Our Father, we thank you so much that you have the best person for each one here who is single. And they can trust you, Lord, to bring the right person into their lives. Lord, help them to prepare themselves to be godly wives, godly husbands, who love you with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, with all their strength, and their career and their wealth and their status does not matter anymore. Only Jesus does. And while they are excellent in their jobs and have good money and good income to enjoy, Lord, help them to pursue you as their only security for all eternity. Make good wives and good husbands out of these young people, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.